I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right. Hello, everyone. It's me, David Chen. Welcome to Decoding Reality, a decoding TV podcast about reality television. Joining me today to discuss the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion at Joy Unapping. Joy, how's it going today?
I feel alive. That was great.
Indeed. Indeed. So on today's episode of Decoding Reality, we're going to be discussing the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion. And also, before we continue, I just want to make sure that, like, we decided to stream this live on YouTube at youtube.com/decodingTV, and I'm getting some errors, I think. Oh, yeah, no, it's working. I think we're good. We should be good at youtube.com/decodingTV, which is where you should follow Decoding TV for all the latest madness and live events. So on this episode of Decoding Reality, like I said, we're going to spoil everything that happened at the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion, react to it, and give kind of our closing thoughts on Love is Blind Season 6. And Joy, you also had the chance recently to watch the first season of Love is Blind, correct?
Yes. You know, I started my watches of Love is Blind, I picked up in season 2, and it's always been a gap for me that I hadn't seen season 1. So I would say things like Tiffany and Brett are my favorite couple. And then folks would say, but what about Lauren and Cameron? And so I decided to be a completist and watch season 1. I'm almost through the After the Altars. It's amazing how I've like kind of known a little bit about these folks, but because I didn't really know who they were, my understanding from social media was like way off. But it's, you know, been 4 or 5 years since that first season was filmed, and quite a lot of life has happened in the time. So I think it would be really fun for us to talk about it. What do you think?
Yeah, we will do that at some point in the future before the next season of Love is Blind Season 7. So that will be the plan. Of course, we always appreciate your feedback and messages and emails. You can leave a review for us at Apple Podcasts or email us at decodingtv@gmail.com. We'll probably be reading a few of your emails on the next podcast as well. So thanks to the ones of you who have sent in emails. We really, really appreciate it. All right. Let's start by talking about our overall thoughts on this Love is Blind reunion. And Lord knows we've watched many a Love is Blind reunion, and some of them have been truly god-awful, often due to the terrible hosting skills of Nick and Vanessa Lachey. So our expectations are quite low when it comes to these reunions. What did you think of this reunion, Joy?
Well, I was initially quite nervous. We didn't know. It went live at 6 o'clock Pacific today. We didn't know what would be in it or kind of how it would go, but we saw it was an hour and 37 minutes. And I thought, oof, this thing must be really padded out. It turns out, I think it largely earned that runtime. And it's partly due to the hosting skills of the Lacheys. I don't know what's happened. Have they gone to school? Are they being fed into their earpieces? Like way, way better questions from producers who went to school. Like I don't know how it is almost like a completely different like echelon of questioning that they were at. The setup was also a little different and we can talk through that. But by far, the best change is that this show has finally caught up to its social media self and is no longer always feeling so behind the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the sense that events were referred to during the reunion that have occurred in the last few weeks, basically, right?
Yes, and often I come into, I watch the show, then I see social media, I have all these questions, the reunion airs, and I'm left with literally the same number of questions, maybe not the exact same questions, but it doesn't seem to like satisfy my curiosity at all. I feel like this has pretty much caught us up to where we are today, and I don't actually have that many questions left.
I agree. I gotta say, I thought this was a highly enjoyable reunion that addressed pretty much everything that we could have wanted to know. Like 90 to 95% of the stuff I would have wanted to know was addressed. The questioning was on point, with some exceptions. Like there's the stray weird question or moment that it still makes things a little bit tense and uncomfortable. But overall, this is like a really possibly the best reunion episode they've done. Now, there are a few differences from previous reunion episodes that we should mention. Number one, the production values of this reunion episode were dramatically higher than previously. They actually got a full set. The set looks good. There's actually a studio audience. They've had that in previous reunions as well. And then they also brought back people who have quote unquote won previous seasons of Love is Blind. And that's the first time they've ever done that to kind of, those people have read questions and, you know, reacted and commented to some of the stuff going on stage.
They also mic'd every single one of those prior contestants so that when people had little like, ooh, what was that? You could hear it. It wasn't something you had to intuit from what an audience member who isn't mic'd. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You didn't have to read it just from their facial reactions. And so it made it feel a lot more interactive. Like the people who were from the prior seasons were just like us on the couch, like interjecting.
Yeah, that being said, a lot of people have voiced their discontent with this. Decider.com has an article already. Like we are recording this minutes after the reunion, quote unquote, stopped airing. Like we watched it basically the minute it went live. And Decider has an article saying, "Internet furious over past couples on Love is Blind Season 6 reunion. Nobody cares." End quote. And that's apparently like nobody cares about the past couples. And some people think that it was obviously Vanessa's doing because she has in the past asked for a sacrifice of Love is Blind babies to be offered up. And the best way to do that is by getting previous members on who may or may not be pregnant. And several of them were. So anyway.
Well, that's a dark reading. And I haven't had a chance to see this Decider article that was apparently like instantaneously spit out in minute 10 of the reunion. But internet furious. Sure, whatever. I think to me, the function of it was to break up the monotony of Nick and Vanessa having to moderate for hours, because what we saw was 97 minutes. That means they filmed probably two and a half, three hours of footage. And I feel like having prior cast members ask the questions kind of takes the edge off a little bit and makes it feel less like Nick and Vanessa are prying all the time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So we will leave it up to you, the audience / listener, to decide whether or not it was a good idea to bring past quote unquote contestants back. I will say that I think one thing they're trying to do is project soft power by bringing past contestants back. Like this is a thing that The Bachelor does. There's this like there's Bachelor Nation. There's this whole kind of community of people who have been on The Bachelor before and they all kind of know each other. And the idea is that, oh, of course, many couples have successfully met and gotten married and had families because of The Bachelor. And it's kind of projecting this image of this is a wholesome thing that we're all doing. And look at all the success that we've had in the past.
There was a lot of subtext.
Yeah.
There was a lot of subtext. One was, look at all these pregnant women. These are not only successful, but, you know, fruitful marriages in the way that Vanessa Lachey cares about. Secondly, if the prior cast is interested and invested in watching the current seasons, it can't be that exploitative, can it?
Right. Obviously.
At one point, towards the very end, I think maybe the last question, Vanessa asks, what do you guys miss the most about the show? And there's some answers at being on the show. And one person says the food. Mm. And this is a show that has literally been sued for its lack of food provided to participants, food and water. So it felt very sort of deflective and defensive.
Yeah.
And then certainly having Chelsea say of Chelsea and Kwame from the Seattle season, I have a new job. I am a casting person for this. Stop criticizing the casting because I know what I'm doing. I was here clearly with good intentions. I'm not, say, picking Clay off of Instagram when he clearly is not interested in marriage and maybe doesn't know what Love is Blind is. I mean, right. it was such a disconnect that, you know, they had someone, they're really doubling down on the earnestness of the experiment.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, is kind of a bummer because anyone who knows anything about anything knows that that's all bullshit. Like, it's actually kind of disrespectful to the audience to think that we're that stupid. But there is one moment in the reunion where Nick says, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on Love is Blind. You know, like, how dare you come here without the purest of intentions? And that was complete BS. And again,
and for Chelsea to be like, I get to meet these brave, bold people, you know, with her like Barbie pink. She's loved Barbie pink before. It was a giant trend. I will say that about her. But woof, that was really corporate PR speak is what it felt like. And speaking of which, there were two randos on the show, Micah and Izzy. And I thought maybe they were a couple.
Right.
No, they're just going to be on the next cross-promoted Netflix dating show, Perfect Match.
Perfect Match, which is by the same creator as Love is Blind. So
I believe it is largely kind of the people you've met from other Netflix dating shows kind of get together and see if sparks.
It's like, how dare you go on the show to be famous? P.S. to these randos who went on the show and didn't get married, they are going to be super duper famous from being on both Love is Blind and this other show.
And the most conventionally attractive of you may get a spot on a different show.
Yeah. So I think Love is Blind is relatively entertaining and occasionally insightful, but please cut it out with the BS of this is this grand experiment and isn't it so beautiful that we're all part of this and how dare you impugn the integrity of what we're doing here. It's just... it's incredibly tiresome. It was incredibly tiresome two seasons ago. It continues to be tiresome. And I wish they would just drop that. But hey, I guess whatever you have to tell yourself to go to sleep each night, you know? Nick Lachey, whatever that is, it's fine with me. Okay.
I'm not going to beat up on Nick Lachey because he actually did his job for the first time in six seasons.
Which is ask...
He hosted television.
He hosted television, and I have to say, like, in terms of questioning style, it was very solid. Like, they asked questions.
And they were both good.
Yeah, they were both good.
Did you notice that?
Shocking. They're both good.
Who are these people?
When they asked a question and it wasn't answered, they would, like, drill down on it and say, well, actually, you know, they would go back. And it was actually just really good interviewing overall, I would say.
Solid. Yes.
This was not a live show, so who knows how much of the terrible questions were edited out, but like what they were left with was very, very solid. So okay, they mainly focused on three to four couples during the course of the reunion, right?
I think we should talk through all five that went to Mexico or the Dominican Republic. Sorry, some years they go to Mexico this
fair
year.
Enough. So first of all, Jeremy got a ton of attention. I think he was like a fully like 20 minutes of the 100 minute long reunion, right? Like he was a substantial part of the reunion. And what happened with him and Sarah, he and Sarah Ann are now a couple. Laura dialed in via Zoom. Probably one of the best moments of this show's history is Sarah Ann walking onto stage. They're like, Sarah Ann's here, actually. Jeremy's girlfriend is here. Sarah Ann comes on the stage. There is no applause. Like, remember when Jeb Bush said, please clap, and then some people half-heartedly clap. That was more applause than Sarah Ann got when she walked onto the Love is Blind stage. And I have to say, that was highly entertaining and very well-deserved.
Sarah Ann has done nothing in the prior weeks to make us believe that she deserves this, deserves a softer treatment, mm-hmm. or that she really understands the error of her ways. So I agree with you. It was quite satisfying.
She has been completely unapologetic. So essentially, for those who don't know, Sarah Ann tried to steal away this other woman's fiance. Now, obviously, he is ultimately responsible for his actions, but she also acted wrongly. Most people would conclude that. And she has been completely unapologetic about it. Doesn't even seem to comprehend that anything she did was wrong.
Oh, I think she does know, because they aired this amazing clip that was not previously shown of Sarah Ann and Laura talking at the jet ski lake.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Ann is like, I just want you to understand that when I said, like, if you ever change your mind, I didn't mean to come after your man. I just meant, like, generically, you know, like, in life. And it was definitely not meant as a disrespect to you. But I can see, like, that would have been uncomfortable for you. You know, like, she really tries to walk the line of, like, she really meant well by that. And she didn't mean anything out of bounds. And it is, like, impossible for her, and it seems very, very difficult for Jeremy to actually apologize for anything. And the bigger the bad thing they do, the harder it is to apologize. So he's willing to apologize for the bean dip comment happily all day long, but he's not willing to say, you know, he continues to double down on this. I didn't cheat with Sarah Ann. I was at her house dropping her off at 5 a.m., but I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't kiss her. No lines were crossed. The line that you crossed is that you are talking until 5 a.m. and your fiance has no idea where you are. Anyway, he completely still does not clock it.
I agree.
Or chooses not to.
I agree. The hosts of the event, Vanessa and Nick, and also a bunch of other people that spoke during that section, they really raked him over the coals. And, you know, that's probably as good of justice as people will get. Laura was there dialing in, and she also gave him a really hard time about it. And he did seem to, like, finally, after 20 minutes of grilling, apologize to Laura. And that seemed to kind of give her some kind of resolution to this whole thing. So that was nice.
Yeah, it didn't feel like incredibly like he saw it from her point of view, but I think he got badgered into some sort of apology. Yes.
Anything else you want to say about Sarah Ann and Jeremy?
I thought Jessica handed herself incredibly during this whole segment. Do you remember this?
Okay, tell me what you're referring to.
So Sarah Ann does this thing that she does where she basically starts yelling.
Uh-huh.
You're a pick me girl. I'm a pick me girl. You know, who, blah, 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 yada, yada. You know, and she kind of escalates her voice. And Jessica says, the person who is the loudest is not necessarily the person who has the most to say. So I'm going to let you finish and then I will say my piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jessica just has a lot of skills, I feel like, in calmly saying difficult things that I'm a little surprised by, to be honest. And I really applauded her for it, because she was out there doing Laura's work for her so that Laura does not have to, because Laura's very harsh. And I think the tone and the ferocity of her words, she's just very cutting, right? Like, that is Laura's sense of humor, can be such that you could easily see it just escalating and escalating. But I thought Jessica actually sort of uninflamed it so that she could say her piece, which is, that was truly disrespectful. And she could say that calmly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Sarah Ann just doesn't come off well. There is this whole thing about she's doing it, you know, this is entertainment and we really delivered on that. And they were like, how dare you reduce what we're doing down here to entertainment? How dare you, Sarah Ann?
We are wrecking real lives. We are actually hurting Laura's real grandmother. So, yeah.
When the show gets all self-righteous, it's just completely unbearable. But on the other hand, it's like, they're giving Sarah Ann a hard time, so it's kind of like Larry David gif.
That is enjoyable.
Larry David gif of, like, him looking in both directions and being like, well, I guess it's okay. Anyway, all right. So
I also thought it was amazing, though, that they basically implied Sarah Ann and Jeremy are together, living together. It's been a year. It almost really is like, oh, he chose wrong. He should have been with Sarah Ann.
Right.
That's the initial sense of the story.
Right.
But after Laura is at the lake and is basically saying, he told me he absolutely not never would have chosen you under any other circumstance, under any circumstances where I said no to him or whatever. And then Chelsea's chiming in with, you know, well, you've broken up several times when I've run into you. Like, it really felt like the cast was doing a lot of the moderating and bringing in the details, mm-hmm. which I really appreciated. That's much better than watching Nick and Vanessa do it nonstop.
I do think it's fascinating whenever they play back other, because they've recorded thousands of hours of footage. And so it's always fascinating when they play back other stuff that you just didn't have access to. And in the style of Anatomy of a Fall, you realize, like, by playing different clips, you can get an entirely different story of what a relationship is like.
I cannot believe they held that lake footage back.
Yeah.
It was so good. And those episodes were a little boring. So, like, I really wish they had brought that back in.
Yeah. So probably the most emotionally impactful part of this whole thing was Clay and AD. I mean, just a really powerful segment of the reunion, I thought. I think both of us were getting emotional about it, because Clay, for those who didn't watch, right, Clay seems to have deep regrets about how he dealt with the situation, and has sought therapy in the time since the events of the show, and has really taken responsibility. Unlike Jeremy, I didn't see any deflection.
Oh my gosh. You know, it was like a totally, like, I wanted to shout, you know, at Jeremy, this is how you take responsibility for something.
Yeah. It was very powerful. And, you know, I think we all knew he messed up the opportunity of a lifetime when he didn't say yes at the altar. He shouldn't have said yes before he was ready. You know, that's true. But I think just the full weight of the impact of his decisions hitting him in this episode really, really made an impression. Any thoughts?
I think he was really honest. You know, he was like, she's walking down the aisle, I'm thinking this is my wife. They're asking, do you, like, I can totally believe that he would be thinking these things back and forth. And, like, it's not, I think Clay was not ready for marriage. I think if Clay knew that about himself better, he could have saved everyone a lot of pain by calling it off before the actual wedding day. So my guess is that, of course, we all wonder how Clay ended up on this show, because he did not understand the premise and had not seen the show.
Yeah. Which is pretty weird.
Was outright asking about someone's looks and saying, I can't get down on one knee without knowing what you look like. And it's like, well, again, that is the premise of the show.
Do you think Chelsea cast Clay?
That was one of my questions. I do feel like he was set up to fail a little bit.
Yeah.
But given that, it's obviously humbling. And it's interesting, you know, I actually thought from the trailer that maybe they were together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of speculation that they might be together. But they, as far as we know, they are not. And it doesn't seem like that will be a possibility at this point. But we'll see. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
One of the best questions that came out on the reunion, and maybe I think they probably were prepped for this answer, is for me, when Vanessa said, you, Clay, have talked about watching Love is Blind season one with, I think it was AD's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't season one. It was a prior season.
Yeah.
And noticing the men and saying, like, that's what a real husband is like. That's what it should be like. I'm not like that. Who was it? And it turns out it's Brett. Like,
yeah.
My heart actually, like, hurt a little bit, because I really admire Brett and Tiffany as a couple. But I knew where this might be going. And sure enough, it went into a conversation about growing up, you know, under circumstances that are maybe not great, feeling like as Black men that you don't have enough role models. And I just thought it was a really lovely and honest moment between Clay and Brett, and that we would not have gotten if the old couples hadn't come to the show.
Yeah, yeah, that almost made it worth it, almost. So I did appreciate that moment as well.
And what Brett was saying was like, It was great when we were on camera. I had lots of questions and doubts too, yeah. you know? Yeah. And it's okay to have doubt and still, that doesn't mean you're like unworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens between the two of them, if anything.
Indeed. All right. Shall we move on to the next couple?
Well, I'll just, why don't we talk about AD and Matthew while we're here?
Go ahead.
Well, it's just revealed that they went on two dates together, which blew my mind. Were you surprised?
Things happen, you know, in the show. So,
well, it sounds like
almost nothing would surprise me. I mean, they showed Micah and Izzy together, and it's like, are they actually like that? Would have been mildly surprising, but you know, stuff happens. People meet, and yeah. So,
well, I just think Matthew gives off a very creepy vibe in real life. So, or I found his energy very like nervous and off-putting. So, he apparently apologized real good. Enough to get a second date. And then that was that. But it's really interesting. Like the things about them that didn't work out, it seemed like things you could have figured out in the pods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was surprised that they hadn't figured that out sooner. But maybe he had, you know, like threatened to, I mean, promised to run away with her / threatened to take her out of this whole situation. And maybe that cut their relationship short.
They showed tape of Matthew from the pods essentially saying the same thing to both AD and Amber, this other woman, right? Kind of, right?
I think it was similar, but I think we had already seen very similar footage, so it wasn't that new to me.
Well, they had never shown any Amber footage at all prior to the reunion. There was no footage of Amber in the pods prior to the reunion. So
yes, you're right. Amber, we see her come into the like the ladies' lounge, right? And she says he wants to ask my dad, and that's how we found out. Oh yes, that was great editing.
That must be really odd. I looked up Amber on Instagram. She has like 25,000 followers, and she is literally a side, like a subplot in someone else's story in the season, you know? Like, it's just, it just must be an odd feeling where you have a similar experience to many of the people.
Easily could have been a main character.
Could have been a main character, but then like you are just a side. They don't show any of you in the pods, and it's just like
you're not a side plot. You're the plot twist.
You're the plot twist, right? Yeah, it just makes me think about like how we all perceive each other's stories and how like
who are you the plot twist?
Yeah, exactly. You're in your own mind. You are the main character of your story, but for other people, you are the side. Subplot, plot twist, whatever. Anyway, Amber, wherever you are, you're probably not listening to this or watching this, but I hope you're doing okay. Hope you have retaken control of your life and you feel like the main character in your own story, because that's what you are.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, shall we move on?
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of Jimmy and Chelsea. Honestly, a little bit less of Jimmy and Chelsea than I would have wanted, because I think
I agree. The
most fascinating thing about that was AD reacting. So you and I were not too hot on Nick's questions of what do you all think of that? What do you all think of what you just saw? You know, and we're like, you and I were like, we don't care. Like we want to hear from the people who were in it what they thought.
Yes, exactly.
But that was a really fascinating moment when AD said, wow, we don't know that Chelsea, right? Like, we don't know that version of you where you are really insecure. And she said, I think something like, it was painful to watch.
She said it was wild.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It was like an emotional roller coaster. It was wild. And I thought that was just, that's just really fascinating because, like, for all of us, similarly, as I'm philosophizing about the side story thing, for all of us, there's people in our lives who, there are sides of us, like close friends, there are sides of us they have just never seen, you know?
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
There are sides that you only show to your significant other or to other, like, extremely close friends or to family or whatever. And, but yeah, I was a little bit disappointed because, they talked about like all the stuff that is kind of salacious, like Jimmy's relationship with his friend and Chelsea being at, like comparing herself to Megan Fox and all that stuff. But what I really
and a lot of Jimmy and Jessica. Jimmy, when did you see the photo? Jimmy, what did you think of the photo? Basically, like Jimmy, tell us she's hot. Like we all know she's hot conventionally, but less about like Chelsea. What have you done to grow since then?
Right. What I really want to know is Chelsea. Like, what is your reaction to seeing? You know, did you perceive that anything was wrong in the way you reacted to this situation?
Yeah,
and if
totally.
So, like, what have you know? None of that was really addressed, and that was disappointment. But yeah, I mean, it seems like they're in a good place. I mean, again, this whole show has really shocked me in making me defend or relate to Jimmy. And I mean, Jimmy actually looked good during the like he actually looked well dressed during the reunion. Certainly better dressed than Chelsea, in my opinion.
And he had a few kind of clever off the cuff like ad lib moments where they're like, "What do you think?" And he's like, "I got plenty on my plate." You know, like I actually do. You remember prior reunions? There would be participants like Colleen is one that comes to mind who just looked like they wanted to throw up because they were so nervous about the whole confrontation and being back in this environment. I thought Jimmy acknowledged that it was very difficult for him and also was pretty articulate. And I was like, oh, maybe Jimmy did have good qualities that I missed and the edit just didn't show it.
There is this famous line in The Simpsons where Martin, the class nerd, like makes a crack in class that's making fun of Bart. And Bart says, now Martin's scoring off of me. You know, like he's saying like, wow, I can't believe like the nerd is scoring off of me. That's ridiculous. And that's how I felt about Jimmy. Like, wow, Jimmy, now Jimmy's scoring off of people. He definitely has his Jimmy's stock has gone up and up and up as the season has gone on between terminating the relationship with Chelsea and the reunion and kind of like coming off decently well. He has gone from a complete nothing burger to not necessarily someone we'd root for, but somebody who we'd find acceptable, right? Is kind of what I think.
Terminating the relationship with Chelsea, which he admits he should have done a little earlier,
a little bit.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe before the Carol Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Perhaps.
But when he does actually break it off with her, he does it so well. He explains why. And she's like, babe, this is like a road bump. People fight. Why aren't you fighting for us? You know, like her whole like thing that she gets all wound up about. Yeah. And he says, go ahead, reinforce why we're breaking up.
Right. He's like, this is what he's like, basically says, this is why, this is it, you know?
That was the moment, the inflection point for me from when he like left the zero category and started to enter hero. However, he does have, interestingly, a confrontation with Jessica. So we are mostly seeing in this reunion people reacting to the events of the show and it airing, people reacting to social media that the cast have put on the show. There are social media fan questions that are being inserted into the show. But in this case, it was about media, which was interviews that Jessica has given and interviews that Jimmy has given. And it was really fascinating. They didn't follow up on it quite in real time. But Jimmy had claimed in an interview that Jessica stormed out 10 minutes into a date, and that was part of why he felt not sure about her when he was having to make a decision. And she took that very personally and thought that was very unfair. So in addition to it being inaccurate, I think she just didn't like how it made her look temperamental, huffy, unreliable, whatever.
Right. And proving once again that they are messy bitches that live for drama, the producers of the show cut in rather brilliant. I mean, this is up there with the, what is it? The
Cole and the Zenab Cuties story.
Cole and the Zenab Cuties thing where they just like smash cut to, you know, Jessica says, somebody find the receipts. And then now I don't think they played the receipts live in the room.
Clearly they didn't because there was no follow up, but yes.
Yeah, but then smash cut to, hey, we're going to show how long the date was. And like they had the date down to like the minute specific length. It's like 1 hour and 13 minutes.
23.
And, you know, 1 hour, 23 minutes. And then it's like 2 hours and 13 minutes total. It was like, wow, this is quite damning. Quite damning. So,
and you know what's interesting? I think that Jessica, again, proved to me like how she's able to hone in on the heart of the problem. She said, whatever number of minutes it was, it felt like 10 minutes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally.
But he presented it as
I don't know why you decided to go out and share that with the world, something mm-hmm. that would make me look bad. So he must have something on his chest, right? Like she can feel that about him.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of chest, can we just go back for a second to where, we haven't talked about it yet. Trevor.
Yeah, we got to talk about Trevor. So they bring Trevor out and then they directly address a rumor that has been going around, which is that Trevor was seeing someone before he went on the show and seeing someone after he went, like seeing the same person while he was on the show.
I honestly, so we've recapped this show in multiple podcast episodes. I have never brought up this rumor because I thought this has to be fake.
Wow. Why is it?
Because I thought, oh, the show's getting big enough that you could fake this for clout.
Mm-hmm.
And just
because
you have
because
text,
it's the woman he was with shared the text. That's the, like
right,
that she
exactly.
was the source of the text.
So I could go out there, I could fake some texts in Photoshop, and I could make it look like I'm with whoever, and I could get a jillion views. And you know, if that's the fine, you know, like I could easily do that. It just felt too inflammatory and impossible that someone could literally be basically coming out and saying, "I love you, and I can't wait to spend our life together." Directly from the pods. Like, that's how fake it is. We think Clay is miscast on the show. Whoever is this guy is clearly, anyway.
You were thinking, this is so over the top, ridiculous. There is no way this could be true. That was your reaction
Correct.
To this, right?
Correct.
And so, true to what you said earlier, which is the show catching up with reality, catching up mm-hmm. with the present day, right? And essentially getting to the point where they are factoring in or sort of incorporating stuff that has occurred in our time frame in the last like 4 weeks, right? They question Trevor. They question Trevor about this, and Trevor just completely falls apart on the stand. He is completely obliterated by this question. And between raking Jeremy over the coals, Sarah Ann getting no applause, and then Trevor getting freaking annihilated. This all happened in the first 40 minutes of the reunion. It's like, are you not entertained? Like, we are destroying these people for your entertainment. Are you not entertained? And my answer is moderately. Moderately, I am entertained by this.
Another messy bitch move is when they opened up the reunion, they said, countdown to Trevor, 29 minutes and 57 seconds, 56 seconds. 55. So for those who aren't even on social media enough to know what happened with Trevor, they're like, oh, fuck, what's about to go off? It's a bomb. And it was. It truly was.
It's because basically Trevor admits that he was in what he describes as a toxic relationship and that he was willing to commit fully to the events of the show. But the thing is, it took him quite a bit of time to even blurt that out. Like he seemed to be completely speechless.
I was watching
dumbstruck.
Someone dissociate.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, I felt like I was watching someone's soul leave their body. It reminded me honestly a little bit of Cole, and I did feel for him a little bit as a human because he chose to come on the show knowing he was going to get annihilated, right? Knowing there's at least a pretty good chance he's going to get raked over the coals. And he sat there so quietly for so long. Yeah. Staring into the middle distance. And then he finally said, I have something I prepared to say but I really don't know what to say. And I actually thought, are they just going to let him sit there and not ask any follow-up questions?
And they kind of did for a while.
Occasionally, I have gotten so flooded in an emotional discussion that I really do struggle to find words or even think thoughts. So I just felt so bad for him that everyone had to watch that. But his explanation, I thought, was actually... I don't think he should have gone on the show, you know, because obviously somebody else's heart can get really, really broken in a situation like that. But I thought his explanation was believable and that he was telling the truth.
Yeah, totally, totally. But also, like, can you imagine being that woman that he's with and you're like, I love you, you know, good luck on the show. Oh, you're coming back from the show. I can't wait to see you. And then literally, like... 6 months later, he's going on national television in front of millions of people and saying, it was toxic, we were terrible for each other. Like, wow, that would be... I'm just trying to imagine it from her perspective, you know? That must have been quite...
Well, she also leaked the texts, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's how they were... Vanessa Lachey and Nick were able to recreate the conversation, do a dramatic reenactment of the...
Yeah, with like the times and everything. Yeah,
love it.
The lags. I actually thought Trevor worked his way into kind of a couple of decent statements. One is he said it was a toxic relationship, and then he says, I'm toxic. I know I'm toxic. Which is, you know, people's like power of deflection and desire not to be the problem, see Jeremy, is so powerful. So for him to say that, you know, and then he said several times, like, I know I need therapy. I don't know if he's going to go out and get that therapy or not. But then he also said, Chelsea, like, whatever closure you need, whatever acknowledgement you need, I will give it to you. I don't owe anything else to anybody in this room. But I really did feel sort of the conflictedness of he had done a horrible thing, but he is trying to do the best he can now. And then he said, I'd really just like to leave now.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, and I think Nick, there were Nick a little kind bit of, more time.
Yeah, Nick does this really holier-than-thou speech about the purpose of Love is Blind and is like, okay, now you may get, you are dismissed, sir. I said good day.
The same show that gave us the countdown to Trevor Clock 30 minutes earlier in the gold font that is supposed to be like, you know, the gold goblets and the gold font. It's supposed to be like, love is so exciting and holy and luxurious and fabulous, like this experience. Yeah, it was gutter trash to promote it that way. But through it, I think we actually kind of got a human moment from him.
Completely.
And Chelsea also seemed to kind of accept. She seemed to both say there was something off and I knew it. And she didn't say she accepted his apology, but she just said, I appreciate you. And it felt sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Like she kind of felt like she understood where he was coming from.
All right. Before we get to the rest of the reunion, I do just want to say, hey, if you are listening to this, we hope you are enjoying this podcast. And if you want to support the Decoding TV Network, it's really easy to do that by becoming a member at decodingtv.com. You can listen to episodes like this one ad-free, get early access to them on your podcast catcher. So we really appreciate everyone who's a paid member at decodingtv.com for making this podcast possible.
Yes, thank you.
It is because of the paid members that we get to do stuff like talking about the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion. So hope you will consider becoming a paid member in advance of the next Love is Blind season, which I think is being filmed in, I want to say, Minnesota, right? Is that right?
I have heard Tampa. I have heard D.C. And there might be a Twin Cities.
Yeah, Florida, Washington, D.C., or Minnesota. So
I think, but there's a lot of like simul production, so I'm not sure which will air next.
Yeah.
My feeling is we get these about twice a year.
Yeah. Like there's like one, once every like 6 to 9 months, it feels like we get a new season of Love is Blind. So, all right. Just two other couples, Amy and Johnny.
Whatever.
Good for them. Good for them.
They're still happy. It's all exactly what you would expect.
Yep.
Here's the thing that didn't happen, and I was so grateful. Vanessa Lachey didn't grill them about contraception. They gave that question to one of the former season's castmates.
Yeah.
So praise Jesus, because I really, 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 really did not want to hear Vanessa Lachey ask them about their sex lives. She's always so focused on it, and it's gross. And she's always so pro-pregnancy. And Johnny, so let's wait, you know, 1 to 30 years on making a baby. I just, you know, let people be, leave them alone.
There were definitely many times when there was like a hard cut or an awkward cut between when a question is asked and when like the net, or when a question is being answered and the next question is being asked. And I'm just going to guess that there might've been a couple of Vanessa Lachey questions that were cut out of the mix. but yes.
I will say this about Amy and Johnny, because they seem like a very solid couple that do not cause drama with other people. Their reactions. So Amy frequently was like very uncomfortable at something that was being said or jaw dropped, or, you know, there was another time where Trevor was like, was it Trevor who said, "I bawled my eyes out" to Johnny? You guys all trust Johnny. Like, their job is almost to be like the arbiters, like the neutral arbiters.
Yeah, Trevor's credibility had been completely destroyed. And then so he's like, "No, I cried when I got out of the pods. Like, ask Johnny. Johnny, no, you guys trust Johnny, right?" Because no one trusts Trevor. That was very sad.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, nothing to say about Amy and Johnny. Good luck to them. They seem like they're doing great. And no other comments. And then what, Brittany and Kenneth?
Okay, here's what I'll say. I said, look at Amy's face at one point. She was doing a reaction. And you said, who? We have just watched an entire season of these people. But their love is just lovely and wonderful. But their story is just not very memorable. They're not very memorable as people. So, yeah.
And then Brittany and Kenneth, we got to hear a little bit of, right?
That was really interesting. Out of all the relationships we've seen, it was among the most surprising to me.
Because they seem to still be extremely close friends and like physically comfortable with each other, you know?
Yeah, she patted him on the knee like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like they're besties, or like kind of like the equivalent of like a work wife. Do you know what that concept is? You know, like where you're basically, I was just checking.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't be work for them, you know, that they would be work wife, but like to talk to your ex every day. And then it sounds like they haven't dated anyone else seriously in the past year. And then they have had a conversation recently about what happens when one of them starts dating someone seriously, how they may have to take a step back to be respectful to the new person coming in.
Yeah, I think it's very possible something still might happen between the two of them. We'll see, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like she behaved towards him body language wise, like people behave towards their husbands or long-term partners. Cause she'd be like, "Oh, do you want to tell the story about, like, do you know, like there was an intimacy and a familiarity there." If that's all it ever is, I actually think that's beautiful too. You know, I just want for this show to have people less like they feel like they're human wreckage in the wake of this Netflix money machine, and more like they actually got friendships and relationships out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to say about the reunion? We got updates on all the other couples. If they were invited, they're basically doing fine, you know? Izzy fixed his credit score. That's awesome. You love to see it.
You know, that is not easy to do. And it must be excruciating for the whole world to know that, and to know that a woman rejected you for it. I mean, I think it really was part of the issue. So he said it. But then he also like turned around and stood up and got the audience to clap for him. And I'm like, you know, Izzy, I actually think you genuinely deserve that.
Absolutely. Fixing your credit is a difficult process that is long and arduous.
It's a long process. Yep. He must have been in process already. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I really will say there's already spoilers out from like paparazzi photos of what happens on Perfect Match. But apparently Izzy and Micah will be on Perfect Match season 2, which is also hosted by Nick Lachey. And I don't know if Vanessa's part of that one. And they announced that Jessica was part of it too. And Jessica and Micah have become really close friends. Mm-hmm. Jessica and Chelsea are like best friends. The relationships that strike up in the cast, it's really fascinating. I would not have predicted those specific personalities to all be besties with each other, but whatever, we only see a limited edit.
Indeed. All right. Zach and Bliss are having a baby, and you know, who knows, we might bump into them at the Pike Place Market, you know, in Seattle. So
I was staring at their baby shower venue, like trying to figure out, do we know where that is?
Yeah.
It was the Seattle season all over again. So they're expecting, Alexa and Brennan are expecting, and then Giannina is expecting, but not with the person she was on the show
some
with.
Some random guy.
I thought she was there again to sort of like,
yes,
produce the visible fertility vibes, but also because I'm pretty sure, well, she said she was booked to do Perfect Match and then she met this guy instead. This guy they didn't mention was, I believe, the runner up on The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's done. She's really a reality star. But she was a social media influencer previously. I feel like this is the perfect life for her.
Isn't it weird that, like, you know, Shane from the other season has been on like multiple reality shows. And it's like, isn't it weird that like, people like do a reality show. They're like, I guess this is what I'm doing now, you know, or like I'm doing this for a little while. And it's like, I guess like if people like you or find you compelling, then that would make you suitable for another reality show. But for me, I guess I would think of going on a reality show as like a singular event. You know, I do that and it's like, you know.
Do you think maybe that's why you're not applying to be on reality?
Yeah, I mean, I just did jury duty, not the reality show, but just the actual jury duty. And it's like, I could not do that again for the rest of my life, you know? Like, it feels like it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, I do that, and it's like, I've had the experience, and I'm happy, and now I'm done.
But then you go back to your regular life, you're doing your regular job, and then some bottled water with CBD company comes and offers you $50,000 to make an Instagram post, and you're like, how can I get more of that CBD water money?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I should go on another show. This is a lot easier than working a whole year for $50,000.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else to say about the reunion?
That, I honestly just felt dazed through the whole thing because I was like, this is a high density of high quality things I am excited to see. And the rest of the show is paced actually quite slow, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I just really couldn't believe, could they have finally gotten it right? Like, it was the question I was asking myself. For example, we had that incredible moment with Clay's parents in the finale.
Yep.
And then they got AD to talk about her view of that. And they got Clay. And then they asked Clay very directly, which made me a little uncomfortable. Basically, did your dad ever apologize to you? And he said, not exactly.
Not in so many words.
His own way he did. Which, I have that kind of relationship with some people in my family too, where I know what their version of an I'm sorry is. And it's the most I'm ever going to get. But it's also, it's good enough for me because I know that is that they're trying, you know? So that's what it sounded like. Man, Clay really, really seemed put together. He really seemed to have gotten a lot closer to being just very centered and knowing himself. And it was actually lovely to see.
Yeah. I agree. Overall, a wildly entertaining hour and a half of television. Very few complaints. The things we have complained about, we would complain about, we already have mentioned. So, yeah, I don't know what else there is to say. They've really upped their game as time has gone on. And I am mildly annoyed by the past couples being on the show. And, you know, it felt like a little bit too.
So you were annoyed when you saw them come on?
Yeah, it's like, I don't really. I'm kind of interested in kind of what their stories are, but I don't know that this is the venue for that necessarily, you know?
Did you want another, like, after the altar?
Sure, whatever, you know.
But I don't know. I find those, like, so annoying where someone is, like, having a birthday party or an anniversary party, and it just so happens that, you know,
the entire,
like,
camera crew is there. Right.
I feel like this was closer because I do know the casts across seasons do keep in touch and become friends. It actually felt closer to kind of how they actually might interact. So it felt a little more organic to me. But yeah, they're clearly trying to build the Bachelorette franchise.
Right. They're trying to, you know, they're. To quote the Bene Gesserit, you know, the Love is Blind people work in generations, basically. They are planning it out for, like, the next generation of Love is Blind babies to rise up and preach the gospel of Love is Blind. And who, you know, it's up to us to not necessarily stop them, but at least bring them back down to earth. So
yeah, what is in the golden goblet? It's pain.
Indeed. All right, folks. I think that is going to do it for us today. We have a few dozen people joining us in the chat in the YouTube chat,
lovely.
But no one has said anything. No one has chatted. No, a few people like tuned into the live, but no one chatted. So, anyway.
Well, can I just put out a shout again that we will cover season one in the coming time?
Yes, in the coming time period.
Not a full like episode by episode recap, but you know, we'll definitely cover that. And we've gotten some really interesting emails. So if you have thoughts about where the show should go in future seasons, the show Love is Blind, not the show Decoding Reality, but also that, we would love to hear it. We'll definitely try to read a few of the emails on there.
All right, folks. DecodingReality.tv is where you can listen to this podcast. And of course, DecodingTV.com members get it first and ad-free. Thanks so much for listening and for your support. We'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.